What's going on, everyone? Art of the Game is produced by Student Media. Student Media is a student organization at the University of Evansville. To learn more, visit fireside.evansville.edu.
Yeah, make it look easy. Hey, stand up guy, boom, 10 toes. Big body pull up in a Range Rover. I could change the whole game when I say so. I pull up, shut it down, yeah, they know. Running this game ain't a thing for me.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Art of the Game, where we talk about the game of life with student athletes. And sitting down with us today to talk about the game of life is Maya Danik. Maya, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, for sure.
So Maya Danik, she is from Lanesburg, Michigan. She is also the goalie and stopper for the UE women's soccer team. But again, from Lanesburg, Michigan, they have a very, very small population, 1,411 people. To give more context, that is much smaller than UE student population, which is about 2,500 students, we'll say. So Maya, what's it like coming from a small town like that in Michigan to coming to the University of Evansville?
I would say Evansville as a city, you know, it's like the second largest. It's a little bit different, but as far as like a university, it's not too different. You know, when you're from a small school, you're used to being like big fish in a small pond. And my first school wasn't exactly like that, but definitely transferring here, it felt a bit more like home, I would say. It's just like, you know everyone, you see the same people every day. Like it's different in a sense of like the city, but campus wise, I kind of felt at home. So
we talked about before, you're very family-oriented and family-centric. So what was your upbringing like back home?
Being from a small town, my whole family grew up there, and most of them are still there. So just very much, you know, family dinners, you know, all the time. My mom loves to cook, so she would, like, cook big, huge family dinners, like, all the time. Like, family events. We're the kind of family that, like, spends every holiday together. So if it's spring break, you're not going on a trip. You're going home. You're seeing your family. You're hanging out. So growing up in a small town, it was kind of normal. Didn't really make a difference, but we definitely just spent a whole lot of time together. So I was raised really family oriented. My siblings and I grew up super close. They're like my best friends. I have a sister who's 7 years older than me and a brother who's 5. And now I have a nephew. So I'm an aunt for the first time.
Okay.
But yeah, we just all grew up super close. And that's about it.
Were you the spoiled brat out of the three?
No, I was not the spoiled brat of the three. People will say the baby of the family is like the spoiled brat. No, I was not the spoiled brat. My parents didn't raise me that way.
I got you. That's what's up. Go mom and dad.
Yeah.
So what were some of the activities and hobbies that you did when you were young?
Besides sports, I played like soccer, volleyball, basketball. And I also used to dance a little bit, but that ended early. I was not very good at that. Besides that, just growing up in a small town, you kind of do a lot of things outside. Like when you're in high school and you can get to drive, like fun things to do is just driving around the town. There's not really much else unless you go like 30 minutes away. But growing up, just being outside, I lived on a lake. So going out on the boat or like going out in the water or stuff like that. Just playing in the yard with my siblings, honestly.
So you ended up sticking out with soccer, right, out of the three, but basketball and volleyball, where did those interests come in?
My sister played volleyball, and my brother tried basketball. So my dad's really into basketball, and that was not really our sport, but we tried it. I mean, I played it all the way up until high school, and I liked it. Volleyball was just kind of something I was good at, and I liked. But a lot of the things I did as a kid, my siblings also did. And that's kind of how I grew up. I grew up like wanting, like looking up to my siblings, like wanting to be like them. So a lot of my interest just came from wanting to try what they seemed to like. So,
like I said, soccer ended up being the one. When did that become of interest? And when did you realize like, okay, this is something that I really want to pursue?
So I was a three-sport athlete up until high school. Volleyball kind of got in the way. I couldn't do club soccer if I did volleyball, and then basketball too. So I actually played basketball my freshman year. And then once I started like committing to soccer and getting good at it, I had to, you know, tell my parents I wasn't doing it. This broke my dad's heart. Oh no, you know where this is going, but I, had to tell my dad that I was quitting basketball. Like I wasn't going to do it anymore. And it came up one day, he was like, hey, what are you thinking about, like, basketball season, like, planning for it, stuff like that. And it happened to be Father's Day. And I was like, Dad, I'm not going to play basketball anymore. And that was his thing. Like, he grew up playing it. Like, he wanted to play in college. Like, that was not the best daughter moment. Like, maybe that was a spoiled brat moment. I don't know. I just forgot. I just, you know, didn't realize that maybe that wasn't the day to tell him that you were quitting basketball. But yeah, I started, like, really committing probably 8th grade or high school. Went to ID camps, went to, like, I was on a club team. And my parents, like, really commit with me. They drove me to all the ID camps. They drove me, like, to the practices that were 45 minutes away. Like, I owe, like, being here to them. Like, they made it happen for me.
Who did you play club soccer for?
I played for Cap City Athletics. I started out at Chill, but Chill doesn't exist anymore. It got bought or something. I don't know. Something happened with the... Anyways. I play for Cap City, and I play for their women's team over the summer, too. So when I go home and I need somewhere to play, that's where I go.
What are some of your best experiences and moments with the club?
Honestly, some of my best experiences are now. I come back and coach for them. So and that's kind of something that I want to do, like, growing up. After I get out of here, after my, like, 9-to-5, I'll do a 5-to-9 coaching. So, yeah, but my best memories with them are just, like, coming back and, like, being the coach that I had growing up. So I played for them for, I think, 4 years, and it was run by this husband and wife. Shout out Stacy and Eric. I love them. But they like, invest so much in their players. And so, like, I also owe, you know, playing college soccer to, like, their investment in making sure that I, you know, checked out the right schools and it was going to be a good fit and stuff. But, yeah, I go back every summer and I coach. I do, like, a goalie training, or I do, like, an assistant something. And it's nice. It's, like, good money, too. But, yeah, it's cool because I do, like, one-on-one goalie trainings with these kids. And they, like, still text me and be like, hey, this happened in my game. Or, like, look at this save I just made. Like, this is what we were working on. And so I had coaches like that I would talk to growing up. And so it's fun to go back and be that person for them. So
we talked about you being the goalie, the goalkeeper, the ultimate stopper for the women's soccer team. But what other positions did you play?
When I was 4 and I played with my parents, you all just, like, ran around in a big ball. So that's what I played. When I was starting out, I played everywhere. And then when I was in, like, elementary, middle, until, like, 8th grade, I was a wing. I figured out later on I don't like to run around that much. But, yeah, I played the wing. Didn't score a lot, but I was running around. I was having fun. I was trying my best. And then it wasn't until, like, 8th grade, freshman year, that I really commit to being a goalkeeper. I did the goalie trainings and stuff, but I was only about, like, half and half. I would play for a half in goal, and then I would switch the field because I didn't want to commit. But it was actually during one of my club tryouts that they just, like, threw me in there because they needed to fill the spot. And they're like, oh, you're actually kind of decent. Like, maybe you should try this. I was like, no, I'm not a goalie. Like, no. But I figured out later on that it was kind of what I liked on accident. But, yeah, then I had a coach in club. We were just doing a goalie training one day. And he came up to me and he was like, have you ever thought about playing in college? And I really hadn't. Like, I didn't really think that was an option for me. I always just thought college was for school, college was for getting your degree, but also, like, it just wasn't a thought. Like, we didn't have anybody in our family who did it, and, like I said, I kind of, like, always just looked at what my siblings were doing, and so I was like, oh, no, I haven't, and he said, well, you should try, like, you should look into it, and after that, I just completely committed to it. I was like, okay, this is cool, like, I'm gonna see what I can do, get better, like, trained a ton, went to camps, like, talked to coaches. It was kind of like an immediate switch. Like, I wasn't in my mind, and then all of a sudden it was, like, the end goal. Like, it was exactly what I wanted to do. Yeah, I'm here.
What was about the position that you ended up liking on accident?
So in the beginning, you like what you're good at. In the beginning, you're like, oh, shit, like, I just did this. Like, it felt good. Like, it was, I don't know. I didn't really get hooked on the position until maybe high school, just because when you play goalie, it's like putting the team on your back. You're, like, the last line of defense. You're the person who kind of like comes in and like kind of saves everyone's ass every once in a while. And I kind of made a joke about the running part, but that's really not it. Yeah, I kind of just like the responsibility and like the leadership of being back there, being the last line and like kind of taking care of everybody. Like even if you're not doing much in the game, you're still talking, you're still communicating. That's something that I really liked about here, actually. Like they really like their goalkeepers to step up into that role and step up and be a leader on the field. And that's kind of how I am with my teammates, like off the field too. Like I feel like I'm kind of like a team mom, just taking care of everybody. So
one of the things I believe that we talked about was how your parents were your first coaches.
Mm-hmm.
How was that experience? Like you know, you're on the field or whatever. Mm-hmm. You got mom and dad as your coach. And then you go back home, it's mom and dad, but mom and dad was just on your behind like a few hours earlier. Like,
yeah.
How was that dynamic?
So I talked about how my dad's sport was basketball and my mom did track growing up. So soccer wasn't really their sport. And by the time I played, both my siblings played growing up. So by the time I was there, they kind of already knew it was up. But for them, they actually learned the sport just to coach us. They were super hands-on parents. They still are. Super invested in us. And so, yeah, they learned about the game to coach us. And obviously when you're four, I started when I was four, you don't need to know so much about the game. My mom's thing was forward foxes and defensive dogs. That's how she got the four-year-olds to understand the game of soccer. But it was awesome. I mean, yeah, like I said, I had a really close-knit family growing up. So mom and dad would take you to soccer, mom and dad would coach, and then we'd go back home. And so it really didn't make a difference until I was in like middle school, high school. Cause then when my dad was my basketball coach, we would like get in the car on the way home and he'd be like, hey, this is like X, Y, and Z, what you did wrong. Like, this is what you need to fix. And I was like, no, dad, I don't want to hear about it. Like, please don't. But you didn't hear that when you were 4 years old on the soccer field. So, yeah, it was nice having them. And then they were my coaches all the way up until high school. So,
after high school, you know, you're not getting looked at. You go to Oakland University, close to home, right? And you say yourself, you're very family-oriented. Why Oakland?
So I was looking at a few different schools in my, like, recruiting process. My family had never done it before. My siblings are, like, my siblings are good at, like, so many different things. Like, my sister's an artist. My brother's super athletic, but he's a nurse now. Like, so smart. And so we had never had like an athlete in college. We didn't know how it worked. But my club coaches were really helpful, like helped me figure it out, helped me figure out like how to see if a school's going to be a good fit, like the things to look for, the things to ask a coach. So looking at Oakland, I liked how close it was to home. It was like an hour and a half from home. I liked the area. But I also had somebody from my high school had also gone there like 2 years before. Growing up in a small town, like we didn't have too many people like play sports outside of college, but it just so happened that she was a soccer player and she looked at Oakland. I was like, oh, let me look here. Like, she seems to like it. Shouldn't have done that. We didn't hit it. Maybe you can cut this part out. I don't know. But we didn't hit it off in high school. So I don't know why I thought it'd be a good idea to look at the school that she looked at. No fault to anyone. We didn't hit it off. But yeah, the coaches made it feel like home, and the players did a really good job recruiting. They know what they're doing. They pull on all the heartstrings, all the family first, you know, stuff like that. But I liked it. But I met my boyfriend there, and I met my roommate there that I still like. I just went to Nashville to visit her. Like, she's gonna be like one of those forever friends. So. Everything happens for a reason, and that's why Oakland. But I was like, oh, I need to get out of here. I need to transfer somewhere else. So
we just discussed a little bit of your time at Oakland. Question real quick though, during their March Madness run, were you rooting for them?
You know, I didn't really know that they were even like in until my teammates told me. They were like, Maya, like your team. I was like, my team? Who? But I mean, yeah, because you might as well say like I came from there, but like, you don't want to stick around. I don't know. I feel like if I had known somebody on the team, I didn't really have friends that are still on the team. I probably knew like two people from you know, there that were still there, but I guess, yeah.
Sounds like a big fan.
But I also don't watch basketball, so I don't really.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
I watched the women's game.
Women's bought out this year. Women's tournament was very fun. So you leave Oakland for reasons, as you stated. What was that transfer process like, and why did you pick the University of Evansville?
They make the transfer portal seem like a black hole. Like, when you hear, like, transfer portal, it sounds, like, so scary. Basically, you're just not on a team for a while, and you just, you know, get some emails, you send some emails. Like, it's not as scary as I thought it was going to be. But, yeah, when I sat down and, you know, said that I was looking to transfer and then, you know, got put in the portal, I, like, had no idea what I was doing. First of all, recruiting and committing to schools and stuff is awful the first time. So why would you ever want to do it again? It's awful. But I basically just let it sit for a couple of days. You don't have that much time in the portal, but I didn't really know what I was looking for. I just know I was looking for something new. So I waited for a few emails to come in. I got a few, didn't know where they were from. They were like, a couple NAIA Division III, just schools that were way on either coast. And that's not something that I wanted to look at. And then I got an email from Grace White, my goalkeeper coach. And I was like, where the fuck is Evansville? What is Evansville? So I gave her a call, or we emailed or whatever. I reached out to a few schools. But yeah, after that visit with, Evansville, like I was pretty sure that was where I wanted to be. I don't know what it was about it. I looked up Grace and I looked up like her accolades and stuff, and she's a really good goalkeeper coach. She knows what she's doing. And that's kind of why I was leaving in the first place. Like, I just wanted better training. I wanted better, like, attention to mind development. I was, like, 2 years into college, and I knew that I could do something better. Like, I knew I could be playing. I knew I could be, like, putting the team on my back. And, like, that's kind of what I like about the position. I was ready to do that. And so she kind of looked at my highlights and looked at what I sent her, and she saw that, and so did Chris. And so that's kind of why I ended up here. My mom came on the visit with me, and we just sat down in the office and kind of talked about my experiences up until this point, and we talked about kind of what I was looking for, and it matched, especially with what they were looking for. Like, they needed to fill a position, they needed a transfer to come in, and I was looking for somewhere that didn't have, you know, that four-year permanent starter that's been there. I was looking to compete, but I kind of felt stuck at my old school. Like, there wasn't room for me to compete and try to play. So, you know, that's kind of what I liked.
You commit to the University of Evansville. You're now here, coming in, stepping up. What are some of your favorite moments from the time that you've been here so far?
I think a favorite memory, the first year I was here, I, like, wasn't used to playing at all, at least playing the games that, like, meant something. You know, I had been in a few, if we were up or if we were significantly down. But I, it's true, but I had never really, like, played because they wanted me there and because they were confident in me and, like, they, you know. And so I feel like my first game here, just, like, hearing my name announced, running down the line, high-fiving everyone, like, running out of half. I don't know if you don't really watch soccer, but, like,
yes.
It's the same thing. Yeah, same thing for everything. So, like, that first time when I, like, ran through and, like, everyone was happy. Like, everyone was, like, cheering for me. Everyone was like, let's go. Like, and you're the first one called when you're a goalie. So just, like, feeling that support, like, having your team around you that, like, actually wants you there and supports you and stuff like that. That was a really cool feeling. My parents came too. And so they said that was cool. Just, like, seeing me finally get where I knew I could be. And where I wanted to be. And then another cool moment. Did we tie IU or did we lose IU? I don't even remember. We played IU this past season. We did really well against them. It was a really tough game. But that was just fun. Like, it's fun when you have a really good game that you're maybe not supposed to win or you're not supposed to do well in. But you end up pulling it together as a team. And we've had a lot of those moments this year where we weren't supposed to do well, or we weren't, like people didn't think we were going to do well, and we ended up pulling through. We ended up doing well, so that's fun to be able to do as a team.
You guys ended up losing to IU. It was only 1-0 though. There's only one new.
I should have guessed we lost. He said, let me check the receipts.
There's only one new. It was a close game.
I think we played a really good game.
Yeah.
We played a really good game. Like, this season, we have IU and Louisville in one weekend. So that'd be fun.
Jeez.
Tune in.
Oh, with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be active back there. I love those games because I'm like, I have more to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mercer, that was like an exhibition game. It was 0-0. I was active back there. It was fun. I don't like to just stand there. I said I do, but I don't.
So Maya's a senior, right? But she's coming back.
Oh yeah.
She said job's not finished.
I did say that.
She said we got one more time. I'm gonna spin the block.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the thought process behind that?
So coming from a school, like I redshirted my first year. Actually no, it was COVID, so I didn't have to. So I had that COVID year. If you would have asked me 2 years ago if I would have used it, I would have said no. I thought I was done with college. I was like, okay, I had my fun little 4 years. I'm ready to move on. But once I got here and I started like growing as a player, I started getting better. I was like, damn, I'm like still getting better. Like I see all these different, like I'm doing things that I like never thought that I would do. And so I kind of felt like you said, like the job's not finished. Like I really see good things for this team and I really want to be a part of that. And also transferring from a public school to a private school, I lost a credit for every class I took. So like there were 4 credit classes there and 3 here. So I lost a credit for every single class I took for 2 years. So I need this, you know, extra little super senior semester to graduate. And I do plan on getting my degree. So I got to stick around. And then soccer is just like icing on the cake. Like you just get to stay and you get to do what you like. And yeah.
So Maya, after the super senior semester, you're also a communications major. What's the next steps? What are you planning on trying to do with that?
I'm not sure yet. Part of the reason I took the super senior year was because I wasn't quite ready to figure out exactly what I want to do for the rest of my life, or at least the next part of my life. But I really like what I'm doing here. I've been getting into like video journalism and writing and stuff like that. So I'm interning this semester or this next semester. Hopefully I can turn that into a freelance position when I come back for my senior year, my super senior year. And then we'll see if I can keep doing that. I also have the opportunity to go back to my old club and be like a goalkeeper coach there. The girl who owns it, Stacey, she has young kids and she really wants to like be more present and like be more around just for her family stuff. So she's looking to transition out. So maybe I transition in and take on that role as like a goalkeeper coach there. It'd be fun, but I just have to figure out if I want to stay in Lanesburg, Michigan, or if I want to move on and find somewhere else. So maybe just save money for the first year, coach, work, remote maybe. I don't know. I also don't know like what state I want to end up in or like anything like that. All my family lives in Florida right now. So my sister and my brother-in-law and my brother are all in Pensacola with my baby nephew. And then my parents are in Key West. So maybe I'll end up in Florida. I'm not really sure.
Is there a chance that you'll go for a head coaching position?
I don't know. I mean, part of the reason I love coaching goalkeepers is because one, they're like a little, all the goalies are like a little bit weird. Like y'all hit it off because you like throw yourself on the ground for your job and everyone likes it. But I don't know if I'd want to deal with parents. Like my parents weren't super crazy with like coaching this. They were kind of like, they were more chill. Like they cared if I had an issue, but other than that, they were like, she's fine. But soccer parents are crazy. Like if your kid's not playing or your kid's doing this or that or other thing, like it's the parents' issue. They make it their issue.
I think sports parents in general are crazy.
Yeah. But you know, heard like the soccer moms, like you've never heard that like crazy soccer mom.
Have you ever heard of basketball dads?
I had one. No. My dad was not a crazy basketball dad. He was just super passionate and his kids did not have that same passion. It's nice. When my boyfriend comes to visit, they can like talk basketball for hours and hours. And there's finally someone in the house that, you know, can have that little conversation with him and we can. Like he tells me about a player, I'm like, who? But yeah, I don't know if I'd want a head position, at least not right now. I don't think I am comfortable enough to have that, like, take on a whole team. Maybe if it was, like, little kickers. I've done something like that, like, little 4 and 5 year olds who are just learning about the sport. I've coached, like, teams like that before. I just like being around the kids when they're growing up and figuring out if they like it. Like, a huge reason why kids love or hate the game is because of the coaches and the environment that they're in. So,
well, Maya, thank you for coming on Art of the Game podcast. This was definitely a really good one. And not only that, she was the first female to do this. So, hey, I think you set the bar.
Got that diversity. Yep.
Yeah, you're not lying. You're not lying. I did. But hey, thank you again for your time.
Yeah, thank you. I can change the whole game when I say so. I pull up, shut it down. Yeah, they know. Running this game ain't a thing for me. I never switched up, no change in me. The only thing changed.